Chapter 5, Death and Ghosts.
It's something, I tell you. You get into folklore, ghost stories. About everybody's got a ghost story. You know?
They're all over.
Yeah, they are. But now some people can't never see nothing. And some people never hears nothing. And others can't. It's weird, but I've seen things I wished I hadn't seen. I've heard things I wished I hadn't heard, but I reckon I'm pretty much the only one in the family that can do that. Except till Johnny died, Becky and Bob says he walks in the house. So, I don't know.
So why your interest in death?
Well, it's not that I'm interested in death, or maybe I am.
It would seem that if that's the theme that's emerging from the set of interviews you did last October, it has you've brought something with you.
Well, it had been emerging for a long time. In fact, you know, this, what I call this epiphany of the roadkill.
Yeah, well, Chester's brother died last September with cancer, and then Liddy liked to cut her foot off in October, and she don't believe in a doctor. So she didn't even go have it stitched up. Mm-hmm. She liked to bleed to death, and that laid her up for a couple of months, and then Johnny died. And then in May, Uncle Charles got killed in that car wreck, and one of my cousins died at the same time, and it's just, you know, but there's a lot of good things happen to you.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm interested in death, though. The road I live on in Rome is called Via Cassia, and it's been there for 2,500 years because it's the first road that the Romans built when they fought and won their first major war with this town of Veium, 10 miles away from Rome. And you know, as I swing into the road, just across the street, there's a slab with the name 14 people who were killed by the Nazis in June 1944. But before that, there's a small ribbon and a bunch of flowers always there, just by the roadside. And that's where this Polish immigrant got killed by a car. And as you drive, well, there's a lot of these shrines that people have been creating all over the city to make sense of people, especially of young people who died in car wrecks or motorcycle accidents. And then you drive further on, and the next little neighborhood is called Tomba di Nerone, which means Nero's tomb. There's a big Roman tomb, and it's supposed to be the where the Emperor Nero is buried. So death again, and you know, you walk along this road, and you're confronted with the fact that death is there.
But I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I'm scared death of water. If I'm up our way over it, you know.
Can't be coming in the floods now.
What about if you fall down in it?
Don't say that, Donnie. Don't even go there, Donnie.
We just hold hands and go down together, I guess. Right.
Time to say goodbye. in my dreams I find that he's still the same as he used to be. Only now my friend can fly. He can fly up there in the sky.
Startle him geese.
Yeah.
And watch yourself, you get bit too.
What is the story of the song?
They're coming.
They're coming.
Sandra was asking you about that song.
About he can fly. Yeah. That, you know, Becky and him son got killed, Ricky. And when we were little, Ricky was always a daredevil. He was the daredevil of the bunch. If you dared him to do anything, he'd do it. That's just the way he was, you know. He was just a little wild child, really. But we used to have this spot behind my grandma's house, just this level spot of ground, and there's a big tree there, and there's a big grapevine on it. And we used to go out there and swing on that grapevine when we were little, and I mean, we would swing out with no ground underneath it, nothing but a cliff. And he was more daring to do that than anybody else. I never forget. He'd get on that grapevine, he'd swing out, and he'd say, "Look at me, Becky Ruth." He said, "I can fly." And so that kind of, you know, that stayed in my mind. And when he died, you know, I said, "Yeah, honey, you can fly now." So that promoted the song. That's where it came from.
I remember there was a story behind it. and you're confronted with the fact that death is there. And we all, I've been sheltered from death for a long time. I didn't have much to do with death. And I've always been troubled by how familiar with death my sons are. Teenage suicides, two in my son's school, motorcycle accidents, car accidents, drugs. So you go to Harlan, and it's right there on the surface, because it's very private on my street. All the shrines, you know, they're all very private. Death is a very private experience, and it's not talked about much. And over there, it's all over the place, and it's what the culture is about. On the one hand, on the other hand, they're fighting it. I mean, they're talking about survival, and I've always admired the way in which people fight back under impossible odds and survive, especially in a country like America, where you're not supposed to have impossible odds against you. You're supposed to, you know, be in pursuit of happiness. Well, you don't see much pursuit of happiness in Harlan County, but you see the persistence of life in the face of death and in the context of death. And ultimately, I guess that's another form of class struggle. That's one of